Amen. You know, this morning we are in an area of 1 John. Matter of fact, we're going to be finishing not quite with love. We finished with the first three verses, I think, in chapter 5. Then we move into faith. And of course, we're nearly finished with this incredible epistle. But what I want you to see this morning is that, you know, John is mystical, if you will. Amen. I mean, the way that he pens, and of course, he's old now. He's the last living apostle, if you will, on the planet at that time. All the rest have been martyred. And he's also called the apostle of love. And so as we go through our text this morning, I pray that somehow the Spirit of God touches each of you, because I'm going to share primarily 9 words from heaven. Say that with me. 9 words from heaven. And that's really what I want to talk to you about, or I feel what the Holy Spirit would have me talk about this morning, even though we're going to cover our whole text. I pray that those 9 words from heaven explode in your heart. If they do, you know what's going to happen? If we allow these words, those 9 words from heaven, if we will, number one, believe them, number two, if we will act upon them, you know what's going to happen to us? Revolution will come to our heart. You know, the word revolution means revolve around, and we revolve around the head of the church, amen? That's what I mean by revolution, not we're going to go get guns and shoot people, amen? No, not that at all. So this morning, if we will do this and believe 9 words from heaven, then it will ignite a fire in this church. If we will just take God's truth, no matter how over the top it may sound, and let it embrace our hearts. So this morning, remember, the theme of 1 John is located in chapter 5, verse 20. We'll be there probably in a couple of weeks and finish up this great epistle. And let me read it to you. "And we know the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true," or know him who is real, the real thing. "And we are in him, praise the Lord, who is real, in his Son, Christ Jesus. This is the real God and eternal life." So this morning, we're going to look at real boldness, okay? Matter of fact, boldness in the day of judgment. Now, that is a concept, isn't it? Think about it. Boldness in the day of judgment. Let's find out what that means, beginning in verse 17 this morning. John writes to us, and he says, "Love has been perfected among us in this." Now, that word "perfected" is a very important word. It means reached maturity, or it's complete, but also it's a past fact and a present reality for every Christian, okay? So love has been perfected among us, among the church, the community, then and now, in this. What love is he talking about? He's talking about the love of God, amen? Agape. Agape is God's love, the unconditional love of God. Now, we know from chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. But in our text right here in verse 17, this is not talking about God's love for us, which he does love us. It's not talking about our love for God in verse 17, even though we love the Lord. It's talking about what happened to every Christian the moment that they said, "Jesus, will you be the Lord of my life?" The moment you were saved, wherever it happened, wherever it was, and the moment it happened, not only were you filled with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit, became a brand new creation in Christ, but God did something to you. This love, this perfected love, it says, God put into your heart. Now, what does that mean? Perfected love means the fullness of love. Listen, God's love is full. Amen? Can you measure God's love? No. Okay, he did not, when you were born again, Romans 5:5, it says, "And this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, the supernatural love of God, has been poured out into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you." Now listen, you have right now, from the moment of the new birth until this moment, you have living in you right now, whether you believe it or not, if you're a believer, you have God's supernatural agape living in your heart. It's just not part of his love. It is the fullness, the perfected fullness of his love right now. That's why he says this love has been perfected among us in this. In what? Look back at verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And here it comes. And he, that's us, he who abides, that word means lives. He who lives in love. What a word is that? He who lives in agape, it says, lives in God because God is love. Amen? Okay. And look at the rest. And God lives in him. Now listen, Christians are a people that live their life in God's love because they live in God. Amen? Now, if that love is not manifest, I say this tenderly, maybe, just maybe, God is not in them. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, when you think about the fullness of love or what perfect love is, you know, we all have studied out at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, that is the hymn of love. And if you read all of that, you'll realize that each one of them actually is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And Jesus is love. Now, but when you think about perfect love and all of that, remember what it said, down in 1 Corinthians 13, what is it, verse 6? It says that love rejoices in truth. That's what perfect love does. When you hear the truth, you should be, praise the Lord. Amen? And it goes on, and it says in verse 7, it says, love does something else. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then, of course, the foundational verse of this church in verse 8, love never fails. Amen? Now, that's the love that we're talking about right now. Can any Christian, have you ever met any Christian that says to you, you know what, when I love perfectly. Now, they may say that, but they don't, okay? I don't love perfectly, you don't love perfectly, but the perfect love is in us, amen? Amen. And listen, there's only one way for that perfect love to manifest itself, and that is by you to say, you know what? No, I have perfect love living in me, however, the way that it's going to happen and manifest is that I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to continue to mature in God's love. In other words, if you were born again, say, a year ago, now, the moment you were, God's love was put into your heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto you. Now, don't you think that you should love more now than you did a year ago? Okay, now, let's say you're 10 or 15 years old in the Lord. Don't you think you should love more now than you did 15 years ago? Yes. Love God more? Yes. Love each other more? Yes. Okay, that's what you call a growing love. Now, if your love is not growing, loved one, listen to me, it's going to be a problem. Look at verse 17 again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. So love, the love that God has placed in us, it finds its fullness, it finds its completion, it says there, that in the day, in this particular day. In other words, that we may have perfected love, okay? Boldness. That word means a complete, full, fearless, holy confidence. Hello? But look when it says when, in the day of judgment. Doesn't that seem strange? Because if you're like me, you probably go, you think about when you're going to stand before the Lord, and do you go, man, I'm going to be bold as a lion. I mean, is that what you think that? Think about it for a moment. I mean, here we are. It's over. We're going to stand before the Lord on judgment day, okay? Think about it. And you're going to just, I'm bold, man. But the scripture says, look at it, it's not a carnal boldness, it's a holy boldness, amen? And it comes from that perfected love. Now, that in that day of judgment, dear Lord, so what is the day of judgment? You know, there's some religions, mainstream religions, that teach that, well, there's only one general mass judgment of all mankind. Well, that's unfortunately, I believe they're interpreting Scripture wrong, okay? Because there's more than just one judgment, or I should say, there are different kinds of judgment in the Bible, amen, in the last day. So let me ask you a question about this boldness. You know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew 25, there's going to be what I call the sheep and goat judgment, okay? Or other people may call it the judgment of the nations. And now that happens at the second coming of Christ, and we come back with the Lord, the church, at the second coming of Christ. Amen? Okay, so the sheep and goat judgment has nothing to do with us, we the Christian, okay? So they're going to be judged about how they treated Israel. So if you're a goat, it's not going to be a good deal, okay? But if you're a sheep, you know, the ones that really, you know, visited, like the Lord said, you visited me in prison when I was hungry, you fed me, and so forth. Now, do you think they're going to have boldness at that judgment? Well, how about this one? This is a great judgment here. As a matter of fact, it's called so great, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And you know who that is. That's the lost on that day when they're pulled up from Hades and death and all the rest of it. And they stand before the Lord at the Great White Throne. And the books are opened and their works, the account of their lives is read before them. And they don't say a word, do they? No, because that's for unbelievers. Amen? Do you think they're going to have boldness in that day? No, loved one, they're not. Listen, we are living in a world that's very, very bold and very, very arrogant. I'm going to tell you something. If you know the Word of God, you know that one day the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this planet, isn't it? The wrath of God. Do you think the world is going to be bold in that day? May I read to you how bold they're going to be? Let me read it to you. Revelation 6:15 says, and listen to all the different kinds of people now, or their positions on earth, in earth. And the kings of the earth, the great men, rich men, commanders, mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, I'm a bold person, leave me alone. No, that's the NIV version, okay? No. He said, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Loved one, no one is going to stand in that day. Amen? No, because, oh, listen, what a day that's going to be. Now, do you believe that when it says the day of judgment, that we're going to have boldness in the day of judgment? I mean, the great white throne judgment and all the rest, that's the kind of judgment we're going to face? No. Loved one, our judgment happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. Jesus paid for our sins, amen? So our judgment was past, okay, not future, but there is a future judgment that we're all going to face. But let me prove to you that we're not going to go through like the punishment of the great white throne and all of that. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:24? He says, most assuredly, now I use that, I believe, on Resurrection Sunday. Remember that word means amen and amen, which means what I'm about to tell you is certain, infallible, immutable, unchangeable truth. Amen? So Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. The moment you believe in Christ, you have everlasting life. Amen? And he says, and shall not come into the judgment. You're not going to come into the judgment of this world, loved one, and has passed from or out of death into life. One day, all of us, we're going to stand face to face with the one who loves us, the one who is coming for us, and the one who paid the penalty of our sins. Amen? We're going to stand before him, and we're going to give an account. So this day of judgment that John is talking about is the judgment seat of Christ, or we call it the Bema seat of Christ, okay? Let me give you a few of the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this, for we must all appear, there's no exceptions, every believer, we must all appear before the judgment seat or the Bema seat of Christ. The Bema seat of Christ is the place where we are rewarded, amen? Think about that, for how we lived on this planet, what we did for the Lord. So it says, before the judgment seat of Christ, here it comes, that each one may receive the things done in the body, meaning what you did for the Lord on this planet while you were here. Now, according to what he has done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Now, only believers will be, pardon me, at the Bema Seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of our stewardship, of our gifts, of the things, everything that God has called us to do. We're going to give an account to him. But we're never going to be judged for our sins there. Our sins have already been judged. Amen? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Romans 8:1, now therefore there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, meaning there's no judgment. Jesus has, 1 John 3:5, has he taken away our sins? Yes, they're gone. He has paid that debt, loved one. He's done everything possible now to obtain perfect redemption for everyone who believes in him. So it's not, we're not being judged for our sins. We are being judged, however, for our works. Now, that doesn't determine our destiny. In other words, heaven or hell. Heaven is already our home. Amen? We're already citizens of heaven. Now, so the judgment is our works. We're not saved by works, but we will certainly be judged by them. Now, however that happens, the Bible says that our works are going to be tested. They're going to be tested by fire, okay? And the Bible is very clear that some believers, they're going to suffer loss. Some of them will not have boldness in that day of judgment. I want to have boldness in the day of judgment, don't you? Amen. Let me give you the scripture that goes along with that. 1 Corinthians 3:13, where Paul says, each one's work, every believer's work, will become clear for the day, meaning the Bema Seat of Christ, the day will declare it. Now, if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. Did you know that the reward is God's idea, not ours? Amen? And we don't know what the reward is. I mean, we say, well, Bill, the award is eternal life. No, we already have eternal life. Well, it's going to be heaven. No, we are already citizens of heaven. Amen? But I don't know what it is, but it's going to be good. Amen? And you remember what Jesus said over in the book of Revelation, behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give unto you. It's going to be something. For serving the Lord, he says, do you know what? I'm going to reward you because I love you because you've been serving me. He says, if anyone's work now is burned, that means it wasn't any good. It says, he will suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as though through the fire. What does that mean? It means our works that were not pleasing unto God, that weren't done, the motivation was wrong or the motive or whatever. It said, no, that didn't cut it. You know, you can only build on one foundation. Amen? Now, but we'll be saved as though through the fire, just like Lot. Lot, I mean, who lived in Sodom, did everything get wiped out? But did God save Lot? Absolutely, and so he will save us. The thing is that if we're going to finish our life, you know, I say, Lord, I just want to serve you all the days of my life. Yeah, I have a secular job, but that secular job supports my priesthood, serving you. Amen? And so, when you think about finishing your race, listen to what Paul the Apostle said. He's in the Mamertine prison. He's writing to Timothy. And he has really, when he wrote that, just a week or two to live, his last letter. And here's what he says. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, meaning I've served the Lord and now my life is being poured out. And the time of my departure is at hand. Now, Nero is going to remove his head, amen? But he didn't say, listen, I'm getting ready to die. I love what Paul said. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going home, Timothy. I'm going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what he says. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, meaning the judgment seat of Christ. And not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. Now, how in the world is it possible for us to truly have boldness on that day when we stand before the Lord. Look at verse 17 again. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Ready? Because as he is, so are we in this world. I'm going to ask you a question. Did you hear what John just said? Those are 9 words from heaven. He says, as he is, as Jesus is right now, John said, so are we, the church, right now. Think about that. Right this very minute in the world. Now listen, what in the world does that mean? As he is, so are we in this world. What does that really, really mean? And I pray that we open our hearts now. It means this. It means that your position, your standing right this very moment in this world before God the Father is the same as Jesus Christ's glorified state in heaven this very moment. What are we going to do with that? How do we wrap our hearts and our minds around something that is so over the top? Amen? Just as he is right now, in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. God says, oh, yeah. And you know what? Your position is just like him. And I go, dear Lord, you know what that means? As he is, so are we in this world. You know what that means? It means that right this very moment, that God the Father, who loves Jesus the Son, loves you exactly the same way. Exactly. Not well, I love Bill a little bit. No, but you know, he loves you. Why? Ephesians 1:6. You have been accepted in the beloved. Amen? And the beloved is Jesus Christ. God says, I've accepted you. I have adopted you. You belong to me. You are my child. I am your father. And I purchased you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. But more than that, our position as he is, right now, so are we right now in the world, right this moment, all of us, with all of our imperfections and all of our flaws. That is our spiritual position, amen? That is our position, amen? Man, listen, that turns me on. I'm sorry. No, I say, oh, God, you're so good. What does that mean? It means that right this moment, we stand in our Father's eyes in heaven, we stand in the perfect righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness, amen? And he has done something. The moment we believe, did he impute Jesus' perfect sinless record to our account? That's called the doctrine of justification. In other words, it's just now, since we are in Christ, it means as if we had never sinned, because Jesus never sinned. Does that make sense? Do you understand what when God sees you? Now, that's our position. I know our practice, it's not. But thank God we can go to the Lord, and if we do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess them. Amen? But our position is not changeable. As far as God is concerned right now, he treats you as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is right now, so are we right now in this world. As far as God the Father is concerned, he treats you as if you had been perfectly obedient as his son. Did Jesus do all things that pleased the Father? Yes. Did Jesus ever sin? No. Did Jesus keep the law perfectly? He did everything that we can never do. He did it for us. But now we're not outside of Christ. We are in Christ. And when God sees us, he sees us perfect in his son. Does that make sense? That's called the doctrine of justification. Sanctification is a process. That's where we are being conformed into Christ's likeness by the Holy Spirit, going from glory to glory in our life. Now, this boldness that we have, we have it right now, but I don't think we concentrate about it. We don't ponder, we don't meditate upon it. We have boldness. Every Christian has boldness right now. And God says, I've given it to you, and I want you to do something with it. Let me give you just a few scriptures. How about Ephesians 3:12? Let me read it. It says, in whom we have, that is present tense, it is a reality in our lives, we have boldness. Can you believe? We have boldness, and we have access with boldness or confidence by faith in him, all because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? We have access to God. You can come to God boldly, meaning with fearful confidence that he will accept you, loved one. How do we enter into the Holy of Holies in heaven? Hebrews 10:19. We do so, we have boldness, and we enter by the blood of Jesus Christ, don't we? See, by our relationship to him, our sins are washed away. How about this one? But this is a divine invitation from God the Father. Hebrews 4:16, let us come with fear. Let us come boldly. Say that word, boldly. Let us, the church, the Christian, as he is, so are we in this world. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Think about that. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that place of unmerited favor that's been freely dispensed to you and to me. Come to the throne of grace where there is not one record of your sin. You have access without any condemnation. Do you understand? You can come right to the Father. Why? You're in Christ. You're in Christ. And he says, you're my son. My son paid for everything for you. Now I adopted you. And your sins are now as far as the east is from the west. You come boldly to the throne of grace. And you know what God says in his word? He says this. He says, oh, that you may obtain mercy, find grace and help in time of need. Loved one, we are to, what, no wonder Jesus told us. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't run over here, run over there. Don't buy that book, buy it later, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And all these things, what things? The things that you need in life will be added unto you. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, listen to me now, that we are to seek things above, not below. Amen? We're to set our minds on things above, not below, because that's where Christ is above. And then he says something. He says, and your life, my life, your life right now, listen, your life is hidden with Christ, not in Christ, but yes, you are in Christ, but hidden, your life is hidden with Christ who is in God. Do you know what that means? That right now, just as he is, so are we in this world, loved one, your entire, who all that you are is hidden with Jesus, hidden with him, meaning the word hidden means you are, it denotes security. Does that make sense? You're safe because he has you. Boy, and you start thinking about all the things that God has given to us, it blows me away. Listen to me now. As he is right now, so are we right now in this world. You know what that means? Let me give you a few more scriptures. Ephesians 2:5. It says, and God made us, that's us the church, made us alive. Meaning God imparted life because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? But it says he made us alive, here it comes, together with Christ, with him. And it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. When's the last time you visited the heavenly places? Huh? No, come on. Now, do you know what that just said? Let me one more time. God has made us alive together with Christ. The one who gave his life for us now gives his life to us. Amen. And he says, raised us up together. It's already happened. We have been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. That's where God rules, in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. That verse, Paul says, guess what God has done? You have, not only have you been seated with Christ, you have been enthroned with him. where he is. Now listen to me. I don't know how you're going to take this, but that just said that we, the church, we, the believer, our position is right this moment. It's living, it's alive, even though we're right here. It says that we, the church, we sit right now where Christ reigns. What are you going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? Now, that's God sees it already done. Does that make sense? As far as God is concerned, our position right now, we're already there. We're already in Christ, and we're seated with him, enthroned with him in those heavenly places, loved one, which means this. We right now, just as he is, so are we in this world. It means that even right now, we share with Christ his exalted position in heaven. Oh, Bill, that's blasphemy. No, it's the truth. Prove it. Let me give you the scripture. Ephesians 1:20. It says, "And God, which worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." Remember, he sat down. Why? Our sins were paid for. Amen? He was our great high priest. It's over with. Now, far above all principality, power, dominion, far above everything and anyone, amen? He says, and far above every name that is named. Oh, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, amen? There's not a greater name than Jesus. He says, oh, and not only in this age, but the age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. Then it says, which is his body. The church, that's us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Loved one, listen. The church, you, me, we are right now the very fullness of Christ on earth. Amen? Is that hard for you to chew on? Come on. Listen, I think about that, dear Lord. Colossians 2:9, for in him, meaning Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen? And then verse 10, what does it say? And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Do you understand? We're complete in him. That word pleru means there's no more. We have it all. We're full, man. In other words, I like to say it this way. We are right now completely complete in Jesus. Nothing else is needed. We're complete in him. Amen? We're completely saved. We're completely forgiven. And we're completely his forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Listen, if all of the fullness of Jesus now, since he is the head of the church, we are his body, dwells in us, what does that mean? It means we have not only his presence, we have his power, we have his gifting. We have his love. Oh, love him. We have all those things because we are his body on this planet right now. Now, listen. John did not say in verse 17 there, John didn't say, he says, he didn't say, as he is, so we shall be one day. Now, even though in over in chapter 3, I don't know, verse 2 or 3 right in there, it tells us that when we see him, we will be like him. Amen? But that's not what it means here. It means that is our position this very, very moment. He says, right now, so are we. And we are just like our Lord. Where? In this world. And here's the question. I ask myself this same question. Can you say, can I say, can Calvary Chapel say right now, just as Jesus is, so am I. In my home, in my workplace, in the church, in this world. Can we say that? If not, then there's a problem because we're missing out on what God has for us. Amen? Yes. No, let me read the New Living Translation of verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more and more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, so we can face Jesus with confidence. Here it is. Because we live like Jesus here in this world. Vincent said it this way, likeness to Christ is the ground of our boldness. being like Jesus, amen? And we're supposed to be like Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Same question I asked myself. Does any part of your life right now resemble Jesus? Where you work, go to school, whatever it is. Any part, you know, in other words, how much of Jesus is being seen in your daily life right now? The Bible tells us, 1 John 4:9, that we live through him, that his life is our life, amen? No, listen, we are in this world and we're called to do something. See, as he is, so are we in this world, which means we are to manifest who we are to this world. Well, who are we? Well, Jesus doesn't lie, and he told us. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Did Jesus say, you're the light of the world? Three of you said yes. Oh. Did Jesus say that we're the salt of the earth? Yes. Did Jesus say that we're a city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden? Yes. Well, then if that is true, and it is true, then we are to manifest those things to this world. How do we do that? Well, we already learned that over in 1 John 2:6. He who says, Christian, if you say you abide in him, you live in him, you draw strength from him, it says, ought himself also walk just as he. There it is, as he walked. You know, so many people think, Christians, they believe that heaven is our goal. Heaven is already our home. Amen? So it can't be our goal because it's already there. Jesus has already prepared a place for us, okay? So the goal of Christianity is to be conformed into the very image of Christ Jesus. Amen? That's why the Holy Spirit is working in us right now, taking us from glory to glory into the same image of God's Son, Jesus, our Lord. So, you know, whenever we say, as he is, so are we in this world, well, then we need to be saying, okay, what did Jesus do in the world when he was here in his earthly ministry? Did he love people? Did he help people? Did he heal people? Did he bring victory to people? That's what we need to be doing as well, loved one. Because as he is, so are we right now in this world. Do we share the life of Christ? Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. How about power? Acts 1:8. Do we have power? You better believe we do. It's come upon us so we can be his witnesses, loved one. So listen, here we are. We're in this world, and it says we're to walk like Jesus. And if we're going to walk like Jesus, we're going to have to treat each other the right way. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's 31 all the way to chapter 5, it tells us be kind one another. Amen? Tender-hearted one to another. Forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us. And be ye imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ did. Amen? That's what we're to do. If we're going to be an imitator of God, that means just as he is, so are we in this world right now, and we can do that. How about Romans 15:7? For us, it says this, that ye receive one another. That means the word receive means to welcome, that ye receive one another just as Christ Jesus welcomed you. Isn't that something? That we need to do that to one another, man. I mean, is anybody here perfect? But we're to love one another, help one another. Amen. I think, aren't we big enough yet to overlook our faults? I mean, meaning our personalities. I mean, come on. I mean, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. You're a hard bunch this morning. No. If we're going to walk like Jesus in this world, don't you think we're going to have to at least think like Jesus? And did you know that's a command? Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's a command, loved one. Listen, you know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, remember in Philippians 2, all the way down to verse 11, I believe it is, 1 through 11. Listen, the great kenosis passage, he emptied himself. He came from heaven to this place, born. He wasn't born in a palace, was he? No, and he grew up, and guess what he did? He it says that he took the lowest place. Jesus is God. He came from master of all and to servant of all, yet he was still master. Amen? Well, what was the low place that Jesus took, it says? He was a bondservant. You know what a bondservant is? It's a doulos. What does that mean? A doulos, a bondservant, is one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. Whose will was Jesus swallowed up in? God's will. Well, loved one, did he wash the disciples' feet? Did he come not to be served but to serve? Well, if we're going to be like him, as he is, so are we in this world, don't you think that we need to be servants? Don't you think that we need to serve him and do whatever, if we're able physically to serve, don't you think that we should be doing that right now? Because, loved one, if we're not doing that, then just as he is, we can't say that. We have to say, just as he is, I am not, if we're going to be like our Lord. Now, in verse 18, it gives us now the foundation of boldness. It tells us what it is. It's love. Now, watch this. There is no fear in love. See, fear is the opposite of love. Amen? So there's no fear in love. Now, listen, in God's love, there is nothing there to produce any kind of fear. Love that contains no fear, okay? God's love. Now, that's what's alive in your heart. He says, but perfect love, not any kind of love, but perfect love, maturing love, complete love, perfect love does something. It casts out. That word means it drives out or it expels every trace of, what's that word? Fear. Because fear involves what? Torment. Now, you know, I'm a King James man, okay? We went to school together, and it's a joke. You know, and I teach out of the New King James. But whenever they make a mistake, I always bring it out. And right here, they made a mistake in this translation. Because the word torment, and we always say, well, don't be afraid because fear has torment. But that's not what that's talking about. Because the word there is not torment. In the Greek, that word is punishment. And that word is only used there and in Matthew, I think it's 25:46 in the judgment of the sheep and goats, where it's talking about sending those, the goats, out into everlasting punishment. Now listen, so he says fear, you know, it makes you think that, oh, I'm going to be punished because you don't understand God's love. He is in the correcting business with a Christian. He's in the disciple discipline business. Amen. How does he discipline the believer? He disciplines those he in love. Why? God is love. He loves you. And listen, what father wouldn't discipline their children? Amen. And we need it. Yes. Oh, loved one, listen to me. I look and I say, dear Lord, we have nothing to fear. We're not going to be punished at the bema seat of Christ. In other words, when we depart and leave and stand before the Lord, we don't have to be afraid like, oh, he's going to put me in hell. He's already saved you from hell. Amen? Again, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, listen to me. If you want to have fear, if you want your conscience to punish you, then don't grow in the perfected love, the full love of God that lives in your heart. You understand? And you will. I promise you, you're going to have fear. Believe me, man. But when our love is growing and it keeps growing because that's who we are, guess what it does? It produces two things. Number one, it produces where it says boldness in the day of judgment. That's the first thing. Number two, it produces love for other people. Look at the next verse in verse 19. For we love him because he first loved us, or literally it should read, we love others. In other words, we love because he first loved us. So love, not fear, is the characteristic of every Christian loved one. Now, our capacity to love only comes from God because God first loved us. Remember what it said, if we look in chapter 4 there in verse 10? Remember what it says there, this is love. Not that we loved God. Boy, that's a horrible truth about ourselves. We didn't love God before we were saved. We didn't even want God. It says, but he loved us. And he sent his son because we were so in love with the Lord. No. He sent it to be the propitiation or the satisfaction of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So loving God and loving one another can never be disconnected. Amen? So as he is, so are we in this world. Look at verse 7 of chapter 4. He says, look at this now. We are to love as Jesus loved. Watch. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is what? Born of God. That's the evidence of the new birth, love. And knows God. That is, remember the word gnosko? That experiential knowledge, you know him personally and intimately and all of that. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. To me, this blows me away. Because it's telling me that the foundation for boldness in the day of judgment is one thing, love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, amen, that lives in you. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, not our fruit, it's his working in you. All of the Word of God is fulfilled, the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, Paul said, that ye love one another, amen, that you love one another as yourselves. Man, listen, that's what this love is. So to have boldness in the day of judgment, this is when you move in it. This is when it grows. It's in this world, not there, not in heaven, but right here. So that means right now that you have to do something. To have boldness in the day of judgment, it means that you have to have a growing love and a maturing love. And as you do that, you'll find out all of a sudden fear starts leaving your heart, for there is no fear in love because love never fails. Amen? Now, the Bible says in 1 John 2:5, whoever keeps God's word, truly the love of God is perfected. Isn't that amazing? In him. By this we know we're in him. Now listen, I'm sorry, I'm fighting allergies like crazy right now. Don't you love that? And but never mind. You know, the itchy eyes and your nose, you feel like it's just, oh, you know where you want to scratch your throat? Never. Now, let me ask you a question. An unloving Christian, is he like Jesus? No, they are unlike Jesus. Amen? And if we're unloving Christians, you know what we need to say? As he is, we are not. All right? That's what we need to say. Listen, and here's what's going to happen now. Unloving Christians, and there are a lot of them. And I don't say that as a judgment, but we should be the most loving people in the world. Amen? We have the supernatural love of God. But if we don't let it mature, if we don't start doing what God says in his word, when we stand before him on the day of judgment, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, we're going to fear. Number two, we're going to suffer loss. And number three, we're going to be ashamed. And I don't want to be ashamed. Do you? It says in 1 John 2:28, it says that little children abide in him, live in him. And when he appears, we may have confidence. That's that word boldness again. And not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's not talking, being ashamed doesn't talk about our salvation. We're already saved. It's talking about our faithfulness to serve the Lord and do exactly what he says to do. So listen, let that be true for all of us. To just serve the Lord. You know, are we the body of Christ? Yes. Okay, so is the body of Christ, the body of Christ exist to serve you? Or does the body of Christ exist to serve one another? Amen? I mean, we're the body, one body, all of us, one body, and we're in Christ. Loved one, listen to me. You know, my body loves me. No, it does. It doesn't always love me because, I mean, you know, allergies, it's like I'm being betrayed, okay? But listen, my lung has never said to my right lung, get ready, I'm going to hold my breath for 20 minutes. It's No, it's never done that. My body functions the right way. Does that make sense? My body is for me. We need to be for one another. This hand has never said, get ready, Bill. I'm going to slap you over and over and over. You know, it's never done that. I know that sounds silly. Never mind. Listen, Jesus, is he the head of the church? Is the church his body? Okay, it's going to be only your will be done or his will be done. Amen? And listen, loved one, if we're going to live in this life, we need to do what Paul the Apostle said. He said, listen, as a prisoner of the Lord, he's not a prisoner of Rome there in Ephesians, I think 4:1, wherever it is. And he said, listen, I beseech you, I am begging you that ye walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. And our calling is a heavenly calling. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Amen? You know, remember what it means to walk worthy? That word, what it means in the Greek? It's a picture of a set of scales. And in other words, here's 5 pounds, here's 5 pounds, and that's equal in balance, isn't it? Okay. If I have 5 pounds here and 5 pounds, is it balanced?
Yes.
Now, okay, now if I have 10 pounds here and 5 pounds, it's not balanced, is it? Okay. All right. So what does that mean? The walk worthy means this. You are balanced. It means, okay, you are equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear the Word of God and you do the Word of God. Now you are walking balanced and you are walking worthy in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what that means, loved one. That's who we are. As he is, so are we in this world. But if someone says in verse 20, oh, I love God. Look at it. I love God. You say it. They say, oh, I love God, but I hate my brother. Well, God says, you know what? You're a liar. Man, did you know that love for God can't be measured by what you say? I love God. No, yep, so it's measured by what you do. When we get down to chapter 5, verse 3, it says, and this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, they're not heavy. So we're to love one another, not hate one another. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have conflict sometimes with one another, but it doesn't mean I'm going to hate you. Dear Lord, no. The Bible tells us about hate. It says in 2:11 of 1 John, if you hate your brother, it says you're in darkness. You walk in darkness. You don't even know where you're going because the darkness has blinded your eyes. 3:14 of 1 John, if you don't love your brother, you abide in death. How do you like that one? Death. That means separation from God. Verse 20 again, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I like what Calvin said. Calvin said, it is a false boast when anyone says that he loves God but neglects his image which is before his eyes. Meaning, we are made in the image of God. Amen? So love and hate, to be honest with you now, love and hate, they cannot live together. They can't. Perfect love. Does perfect love drive out fear? Yes. Okay, then perfect love will drive out hate, loved one. Now look at this last verse with me. Verse 21. That's a commandment, not a suggestion, a commandment. And this commandment we have from him, meaning from Jesus, that he who loves God, now that's the great commandment, he who loves God must also love his brother. Also, that's the new commandment. Amen? So again, loving God, loving each other, they cannot be disconnected. So as he is, so are we in this world. So if you want to have boldness in the day of judgment, if you really, you know what it is? It's just another foundational scripture of this church, and that's the new commandment. John 13, 35, 34 and 35, Jesus told them, there in the upper room, hours before he went to the cross, he says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Now, you know, I've used that verse so many times at this church, you know that they knew what that meant to love one another. Leviticus 19, 18, they were Jews. They knew the Word of God, that ye love one another. But that's not the new part. The new part is this, that a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, and here it is, as I have loved you, love ye one another. to the same degree that I have loved you. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. You think Peter, James, and John and the rest of them and the zealot and all, do you think they were perfect? No. Do you think they had different personalities? Yeah. I mean, do we have different personalities? Jesus loved them, and he loves you. Surely we can love one another. Amen. With all of our flaws and all of our warts and all of our weird, I mean, some of you are weird, you know. But I'm the weirdest. And I know that. That's my wife. And then Jesus said, by this, not because you go to church, not because you have 15 Bibles, not because you have 40 degrees in theology. He says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love, even one for another. In other words, the world will know not by what comes out of your mouth that you're his disciples, but when they see us loving each other the way Jesus loves us. Do you think it would turn this world upside down? Do you think it'd turn our city upside down? Do you think it would ignite a fire? Yes. Yeah. Then why not? What's wrong with us? As he is, so are we in this world. Listen. Time is short. What do you think the greatest need is in the life of a Christian? The greatest need. I mean, if I'm in counseling, well, I need a job. Okay, that is a need, but is it the greatest need? I mean, I need a new car. Who doesn't? Now, you know, and especially if you like tariffs. I need a new home. Okay, I agree with all those things. That's wonderful. But is that the greatest need in your life? No, I'll tell you what you need. The greatest need in your life is this, in my life, is this, in the Calvary, this church, 9 words from heaven, believed and acted upon. As Jesus is right now, so are we right now in this world. Amen? That's all we need. If we'll believe that and believe that we're real, I mean, we're so connected with Jesus where he is, we are there right now. If we'll just step out and say, Lord, we're going to explode for you. Listen, I told the early service, and I'm wrapping it up, but listen, I told the early service, you know, I had like not an epiphany. You've heard that word, epiphany? I don't even know what it means. But it made me sound intelligent, you know. Epiphany, yeah. I can't even spell it. I was in prayer about 2 days ago, and but it was early morning, about 4:30, and I went outside. It was still dark, and I was on the front porch. And I don't know, it was probably, you know, about an hour or so, hour and a half. And then, you know, it starts getting light. And I'd just been praying off and on and meditating, you know, the Lord. But then all of a sudden, I was overwhelmed. I don't even know how to describe the emotion that I had. But I looked from my front porch. I've got a big southern magnolia tree and the flowers that are blooming. And I don't know, I know this is going to sound silly, and I went, there's a tree. But God made that tree. And there's earth on the ground, and I'm walking on it, and God made that. And I looked up into the heavens, and it was a clear blue sky, and it was like, oh my gosh, how far is that? And I all of a sudden realized, here I am, a little speck of dust on a globe of dust hanging in the universe. Do you understand? Job, remember what Job said about the earth? He says, and the earth hangs on nothing. How did he know that? Except God, amen? And there we are. We're traveling through this Milky Way galaxy, whatever. And do you see how small we are? And do you see how big God is? I mean, listen, you look up into those heavens and they go forever and ever. God made them. Do you understand? As he is, so are we in this world right now. That's who our God is. That's who our Savior is. Listen, you know what the greatest need right now for every Christian, you know what it is? It's to do what Jesus said. If you love him, what did he say to do? If anyone desires to come after me, anyone you desire, you want to be with me, you want to hang with me, man. He says, okay, here's what you have to do. Deny yourself. That word means to disown yourself. That means it's no longer about your life. It's about the one who died for you. It's about your will is now swallowed up in the will of another, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about what you want. It's about what he wants. Deny yourself. But I have plans. I have plans too, Bill. But I have a calendar. My calendar, your calendar belongs to me now. Are you following me? But I, Lord, I'm living. Your living belongs to me. Everything, your breath belongs to me. Are you? Deny yourself. If you want to live, if you want to find life, deny yourself, Bill. And then take up the cross daily and come after me. Follow me. Follow me. Travel with me. Have an adventure together with me, because I will take you places that you can never go without me. Listen, church, it's over. We are so, it's messed up. Do you hear me? Time is short. Do you not see the signs are everywhere? Amen. I mean, we don't need to be, we need to, yes, take care of business, but let that business also be the Lord's business. Amen? All right, that's all I have. Man. I have 3 minutes. If you don't know Jesus, well, would you become my brother or my sister? Would you do that? I want you. I want more brothers and sisters. God wants more family. You know, if you don't know the Lord, I mean, listen, I'm not talking about being a church member. You can't be a member of a church unless you're born again. I'm talking about new life, new beginning, a new start. I'm talking about sins gone. I'm talking about becoming a brand new creation in Christ. I'm talking about hell will never be your home if you'll come to him. If you don't know him, would you pray this prayer with me right now? And the church, you're going to help me pray. Say, Father, right now, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I confess Christ as my Lord and believed it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. No one looking around. Every Christian praying. This is just a quiet moment, just a second now. If you prayed that prayer, I don't want you to get out of the chair, any of those things. I just want you to do one act of faith. I want you to raise your hand up and put it right back down, and we're going to close with prayer. Anyone pray that prayer this morning? Say, Bill, I just prayed that prayer. Lift it high so I can see, because God bless you. That's right, I see that. Lift it high, because it's dark in this room and I can't see very well. But if you lift it high, that's your sign of faith, saying, Bill, yes, God bless you. That's right, that's right. Anyone else say, Bill, I prayed that. I'm going to close now. If that was you, don't fight it. Lift it and say, that was me, and be saved in Jesus' name. Anyone else that says that was me? Father, I don't see any more hands. But Lord, you saw the hands that went up. maybe you're listening live right now and your hand went up. We're not going to forget you, and God won't forget you. There's no one like you, Lord. You just saved people. You just changed their lives. You changed their destiny. There's no one like you. Oh, God, they just became as you are right now. So they became just like that in this world because they belong to you now, transferred out of darkness into your light. Oh, God, praise the Lord. We praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen.